This series contains adult language and depictions of graphic violence. Listener discretion is advised. The largest square pyramid in the world, by height, is on the Giza Plateau in northern Egypt. Sometimes called the Great Pyramid or the Pyramid of Khufu, so named for the pharaoh it was supposedly constructed to honor as his burial tomb. I say supposedly because there's never been a mummy found in Khufu's or any other pyramid in Egypt. But that's what we were taught, so I'll play along. The second largest sits just to the southwest of the Great Pyramid. It's about 30 years younger and only about 10 feet shorter. This one was built for the pharaoh Khafre. Though smaller both in height and volume than its neighbor, Khafre's pyramid sits on a higher bedrock foundation, higher by about 30 feet. That, along with the angle of the sides being slightly sharper, makes Khafre's seem taller than Khufu's. Oh, and I just learned that a square pyramid is a five-sided structure with a square for a base and four equilateral triangles for the sides that all meet at the apex. And if that apex happens to be directly above the center of the square, well, then it's a right square pyramid. All the structures I'll be talking about today are right square pyramids. These stone behemoths in Egypt were built around 4,500 years ago, and their construction methods are still up for debate. As for the third largest square pyramid in the world, is it Menkaure's pyramid, the third on the Giza Plateau sitting proudly beside Khafre's? Nope. Maybe the Red Pyramid of Darshur, or the neighboring weird-looking Bent Pyramid? No, sir. The third largest square pyramid in the world also rises out of a scorching desert and also stands as a beacon, summoning the faithful, and within its steeply sloping walls, it too houses the dead. Not in the form of a once powerful pharaoh who had achieved the status of a god on earth, but instead, this remarkable feat of engineering houses the death of countless savings accounts, marriages, and credit ratings. Yes, the third largest square pyramid in the world is, of course, the Luxor Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
The year 1922. The place, Egypt's remote Valley of the Kings. An unknown archaeologist named Howard Carter has discovered the tomb of the child pharaoh Tutankhamun. As he chips a hole through the end of the passageway, Howard Carter is asked, "Do you see anything?" "Yes," he replies, "wonderful things." If only he had lived to see this. Luxor, Las Vegas, the world's only pyramid-shaped hotel, casino, and entertainment complex, and a discovery not unlike the one Carter explored in 1922. Only this discovery you must explore yourself. Within Luxor, you can voyage back 3,000 years on the River Nile, past elaborate murals illustrating the rich history of the ancient Egyptian Empire, and look upon the seated Ramses of Abu Simbel. Much the way Howard Carter looked upon the elaborate and beautiful treasures in King Tut's tomb. There he found four rooms carved from solid rock. The antechamber, the annex, the burial chamber, and the treasury. It seemed as if the wealth of a nation was buried with its king, for everywhere he looked, he saw the glint of gold. There are mountains of treasure within Luxor's immense subterranean casino as well. Here you'll find everything from slot and video machines to gaming tables, a poker room, a kino lounge, and a race and sports book. And with a gold chamber card membership, you can earn bonus treasure as well.
With a footprint of more than 9.5 acres, the world's largest atrium that measures 29 million cubic feet, and easily the most terrifying slanted elevators in the world, the Luxor Hotel has been a bright spot on the Las Vegas Strip since it opened more than 30 years ago. And when I say bright spot, I mean it. I mean, I really mean it. Because sitting atop the Great Pyramid in Giza, there was once rumored to be a capstone of solid gold that glistened in the sun and could be seen for miles in every direction. In Las Vegas, sitting atop the Luxor, there just so happens to be the most powerful beam of light on planet Earth. Lights are measured in what's called candle power, kind of like car engines are measured in horsepower. How many horses would it take to replace the power of this car's engine? Candle power means that you would need X amount of candles to replace the output of this particular light bulb. The light at the top of the Luxor is, no shit, equal to 42 billion candles. It can be seen from Los Angeles, more than 270 miles away, and can also easily be spotted from space. But those aren't the only records that this world-famous hotel holds. It also has the most unexplained deaths and the highest concentration of reported ghost encounters in all of Las Vegas. Welcome back to The Devil Within. You're listening to The Curse of Sin City. So I just spent the weekend in Las Vegas for a sports tournament. And no, I didn't stay at the Luxor, but I did stay right next door at a so-called sister property, the Excalibur. But I took a look around, did a lot of reading, and decided that next time I would definitely be staying in that pyramid. The ghost stories are just too good to ignore. I want to experience one myself. Until then, let's take a look at how the hotel came to be, when the weird stuff started, and any possible explanations for the supposed hauntings that have persisted for decades. First off, around 1,100 visitors to Las Vegas die every year. 68% of those deaths are from natural causes, traffic accidents, etc. 15% are suicides, 11% are homicides, and a staggering 6% go entirely unexplained. That's more than one death per week that completely baffles investigators and remains unsolved. And all those strange, unexplained deaths rarely get any media coverage because, well, it's bad for business. A city that handles such an extraordinary amount of tourists like Las Vegas, the last thing they want is word getting out that you might die there and no one will be able to figure out why. And the Luxor seems to be the epicenter of strange deaths, at least deaths that we know about. There are allegedly many more that have been covered up or unreported, beginning with the construction of the building itself. Crews broke ground on the pyramid in April of 1992, and it would be completed just 18 months later. Now, that's a massive undertaking for what was, at the time, the most complicated construction project in the history of Las Vegas. None of the more than 150 contractors and over 3,500 individual workers had ever been involved with building a pyramid before, ever. And now they're on a crazy schedule with a firm deadline? Maybe some corners were cut, right? The rumors are that at least 7 construction workers died in those 18 months. There have been mentions of several floors collapsing like a stack of pancakes during a particularly large cement pour. But officially, no deaths are listed as being caused by construction accidents at the Luxor. Now, unfortunately, deaths on major construction sites are all too common. Tens of thousands died building the Panama Canal, although to be fair, those were mostly from malaria. But men died building the Empire State Building and the Golden Gate Bridge, all well documented, and the stories of countless worker deaths during the construction of the Great Wall of China are well known, even if the extra macabre detail that most of those men were buried within the wall itself have never been proven. But maybe. At a site like the Giza Plateau, with all that work for so many years, with equipment far inferior to what we have today, one could guess that accidents were fairly common. All those stone blocks, unreliable rope, rickety wooden ramps. It sounds like a dangerous place to work. What makes the Luxor so different? The fact that 0 deaths were reported, it's now starting to sound like they're trying a little too hard, and we might be forced to attribute more than the average amount of expected accident-related deaths. But let's go back even further. Let's consider the extreme superstitious nature of the ancient Egyptians as a whole, and how those beliefs were incorporated into their architecture, their security methods, and their specific attention paid to accepted rituals. First of all, like most religions, many of the beliefs of the Egyptians were designed to incite fear in order to control a large population without the need for a large standing army. A mean celestial babysitter with a strong penchant for vengeance usually did the trick. And this philosophy extended to the protection of the pharaohs after they died. By placing a supposed curse upon the tomb that guaranteed a slow, painful death to anyone who dared break the seal of the door, they could be reasonably confident that no one would be dumb enough to break in and steal stuff that Pharaoh needed in the underworld. One curse found inside the Great Pyramid reads, quote, "All people who enter this tomb, make evil against this tomb and destroy it. May the crocodile be against them in water and snakes against them on land. May the hippopotamus be against them on water and the scorpion against them on land." And it worked for thousands of years. There are many other examples of alleged curses, including one that began as a ghost story from a museum in London in 1918. Apparently, some of the workers in the museum began to hear a faint tapping sound from inside a wooden Egyptian sarcophagus. Understandably, the workers were terrified. They notified the head of security, who investigated the claims and was also sufficiently spooked out. This went up the chain until it reached the desk of the curator, who quickly dismissed the story as either lazy workers who wanted a day off or cowards with an active imagination. When a large number of staff threatened to quit, they were all suddenly taken very seriously, and the decision was made to loan out the sarcophagus to a museum in New York. Let it be someone else's problem. The item was crated up and sent to the docks, where it was loaded, along with the rest of the cargo, onto a ship leaving Southampton on April 10, 1918. The name of the ship was the Titanic. Next, when in 1923, Howard Carter and his team of archaeologists discovered the untouched tomb of the boy, King Tut. It became the greatest archaeological discovery in human history. And many believed that they unleashed a brutal curse that would kill six members of the 26-person crew within days. There may be, however, a scientific, medical explanation for their deaths. Ancient bacteria that had survived within the sealed walls of the tomb, bacteria for which modern humans had no immunity for. Or maybe it was just bad luck or sheer coincidence. But more than 20% dying within days of the tomb opening? That's a lot. Or one of my favorites, the spinning statue of Manchester. Within a sealed glass display case at the Egypt at Manchester Museum exhibit, there sits a small Egyptian statuette that slowly rotates 90 degrees over the course of several days, all by itself. I'm not kidding. There's a surveillance camera time-lapse available online. It just might freak you out. It's worth watching. But maybe the most interesting is the study from 2007 that states that there might have been two sphinxes guarding the Great Pyramid complex in Egypt. Although there's only one today, this theory suggests that the second statue of the Sphinx was destroyed in late antiquity. But why two? Simply, that's just how the Egyptians rolled. There were usually two of everything to instill a sense of balance. And the fear was that having just one Sphinx wouldn't sufficiently guard the pyramids against potential curses or other bad spirits. So how faithful were the modern recreations when the architects built the Luxor? First of all, material-wise, there's no comparison. The ancients used stone. End of list. In Vegas, you have steel and glass, plastic and fiberglass, molded foam, and gaudy carpeting. But you also have some stuff that looks really authentic. I'm talking about the hieroglyphics that adorn all the fake stone obelisks and statues. The columns that appear to be legit, but actually aren't supporting anything. And the single sphinx keeping guard on the street. But what about that? What if all these are mistakes? I mean, do they even know how to decipher those hieroglyphics? Maybe they unwittingly created a curse on themselves and then invited millions of members of the general public to come and desecrate the grounds that were specifically built to participate in the most base desires of the human psyche. And if indeed Egyptian superstition dictates two sphinxes to stand guard at the entrance to a pyramid, then we're screwed. The Luxor only has one. Also, there is a fabulously faithful recreation of King Tut's tomb inside the Luxor, maybe too faithful. As stated above, if the layout and markings on the walls are all up to snuff, well, then there are people who are of the opinion that whatever curse was placed on Tut's tomb in Egypt could also apply to the one in Vegas. And interestingly, the King Tut exhibit survived the massive de-theming that occurred, not just at the Luxor, but at several of the Las Vegas-themed hotels. In the early 90s, developers had the idea that they could attract more families if they made the strip more kid-friendly. Yes, that was an actual idea that billions of dollars was spent on. First, it was the Excalibur Hotel, built to resemble a medieval tower with tons of kid-friendly activities offered inside. Then the Luxor, with all its Egyptian stuff that kids tend to love. That same year, 1993, Treasure Island opened up, complete with a full-size pirate ship that hosted pirate battles every half hour after the sun went down. Cannon fire, sword fights, dudes in pirate costumes swinging around. It was actually pretty awesome. But that whole Vegas is for kids idea crapped out really quickly because the city wasn't willing to go all the way to make parents feel comfortable. I mean, you can drink a gallon-sized margarita walking down Las Vegas Boulevard and smoke cigars inside. Cigars. For those and thousands of other reasons, Las Vegas never became the new Disneyland that was envisioned by those developers in the early 90s. As a result, many of the hotels built in that era were subsequently de-themed. Meaning all the things that, for example, made Excalibur not just another huge hotel with casino games was removed. Same with Treasure Island, same with the Luxor. They would go back to the earlier business model of catering to adults, offering membership perks, room discounts, free parking, etc. And there are massive conventions every weekend to the point that the citywide occupancy rate is consistently hovering around 90%. But for some reason, amidst all the stripping away, King Tut's tomb remained at the Luxor.
During the years of examining King Tut's tomb, hundreds of photographs and drawings were made, which is how, within Luxor, we were able to create an exact replica of the tomb, including beautiful recreations of the art, jewelry, and other treasures Howard Carter discovered many years ago. As you make your way through the many levels and many worlds of Luxor, you'll discover thousands of treasures like these. But most of all, you'll discover that Luxor is more than a casino, more than a spectacular hotel. Even more than a monumental collection of entertainment and attractions, the likes of which the world has never seen before. It's Luxor, the next wonder of the world.
Another one of the unique elements of the original Luxor layout was an actual boat ride through Egyptian history, without leaving the lobby. You would check in and then turn around and there's a mini version of the Nile River and you'd get on an actual boat that snaked through various dioramas of different eras of pre-dynastic and dynastic Egypt. Then you get off the boat and hop onto one of their freaking slanted elevators to go up to your room. The river ride was complete with views of columns and sphinxes and tunnels and it all looked very authentic. And a few years after the place opened, it was such a massive success that an adjacent piece of land was developed to contain two additional buildings, not pyramids, but buildings that held 1,000 hotel rooms each. So now the Luxor had a total of almost 4,500 rooms, and the Luxor became one of the largest hotels on Earth. But then people started dying. Then more people started seeing ghosts. The first reported death at the Luxor was the death by suicide of a young female sex worker. The rumor is that she had recently received a devastating HIV diagnosis and decided to jump off the 26th floor balcony of the hotel. Remember, that means that she was inside the atrium. All the room balconies are inside the pyramid. She landed in the buffet area of the lobby. A few years later, a young man fell or was pushed off the 10th floor balcony, and his death has gone unsolved. Then stories began circulating about the Nile River ride that I had mentioned earlier. Guests began reporting sightings of phantom construction workers roaming the tunnels. Seriously. Apparitions of burly men in hard hats that would vanish as the boat approached them. It happened so often that eventually ownership removed the attraction altogether. They filled the artificial river with concrete and put in a poker room. Then there's the poltergeist on the 30th floor. Every morning at 8:30 a.m., a metallic clanging sound can be heard inside room 30018. Every morning. Dozens of engineers have tried to figure out what's causing the noise and where it's coming from, but no one ever has. The sound continues to this day. Another oft-reported story involves guests having the same dream. In this dream, they're being strangled by a faceless blonde woman, hands around their necks, struggling to breathe. Then they wake up, still struggling to breathe, but with scratch marks on their necks. And invariably, at some time before they end their visit, they'll have a sighting of a faceless blonde woman, often only quickly in their periphery or just as she disappears around a corner, but still, they all say it's unquestionably the woman from their dream. They find it unsettling and usually check out immediately, never to return. Then there was the bombing death of a food court employee in 2007. After this man finished his shift, he was approaching his car in the employee parking lot when he noticed a soft drink cup upside down on the roof of his car. When he removed it, a homemade explosive device detonated, killing him instantly. There was no damage to the parking structure and no danger to the rest of the hotel, so normal operations were not affected even for a moment. That's Vegas, baby. Keep that money flowing. Law enforcement would find the two men responsible for the bombing, but they could never find any connection to the deceased. So the motive for the bombing has never been found. Another recent incident involves the Concert Massacre in 2017, where a lone gunman killed 60 people and wounded more than 400. While he wasn't at the Luxor, he was right next door at the Mandalay Bay, firing from a window on the 32nd floor at a crowd across the street enjoying the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. Those two properties, Mandalay Bay and Luxor, are so close together that police at first couldn't tell where the shots were coming from. The suspect would later be found in his room, dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The motive for that shooting also was never determined. Those three hotels, the Excalibur, the Luxor, and the Mandalay Bay, all under the same ownership group, all connected by a super cool tram, and totaling more than 12,000 hotel rooms combined, make for an interesting and unique stretch of the Las Vegas Strip. And right in the middle sits that massive pyramid, clad in black glass, with an oversized sphinx guarding the entrance. Is there an ancient curse that's causing all the bad luck? Maybe something not so ancient. It's rumored that before the land the Luxor sits on was developed, it was a favorite burial spot for local mobsters. Back then, the area was considered remote in relation to the rest of the city. And we all know how buildings that sit on graveyards tend to fare. Whatever the case may be, the Luxor is something of an architectural marvel. It really is quite a sight, if a little campy and outdated on the inside. And I highly recommend visiting the place the next time you're in town. Just maybe stay next door. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're following The Devil Within wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. You can also check out our socials at The Devil Within Pod on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Until next time. Stay safe out there. The Devil Within is a Cloud 10 Media production, recorded live at Bel Air Studios in Los Angeles, California. Written and produced by Brandon Morgan. Executive produced by Sim Sarna. Our post-production supervisor is Bruce Witkin, who also provided original music for this episode. For The Devil Within, I'm your host, Brandon Morgan.
Hey there, I'm Amara Kofer, and I'm the host of the show Black Girl Gone. In this podcast, I tell the stories of missing and murdered Black women and women of color in America. I want to bring light and awareness to all of these powerful stories. I focus on a neglected demographic and missing and murdered cases and send my love and respect to the victims. I recommend listening to Black Girl Gone on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.